The Gamble House is America's finest example of the architecture of the arts and crafts movement, that early 20th century period when architects were looking for a new expression that was a evolution away from the applied decoration of Victorianism. You know, that you think about the painted ladies of San Francisco, the Victorian houses with all their frou-frou decoration. This is the opposite of that. So the house is really distinguished by its structural style. You can really see how the place is put together because the beams are all exposed, the rafters are exposed. You can really understand how it was constructed just by looking at it.
This house was designed for David and Mary Gamble of Procter and Gamble fame. Ted, you were kind enough to invite along with us here today a gentleman named Dyke Messler. You are actually a direct descendant of the Gamble family. What was your relationship?
I am indeed. I am a great-grandchild of David and Mary's and one of 17 grandchildren of Cecil and Louise. Cecil, as you know, took over the house after his mother and father died, and my grandmother and he retired here in the 40s. I grew up in Pasadena. I came to Pasadena in 1949, so I have been a part of this house for pretty much all of my 66 years, including the first 13 years of my life when I was expected to join my grandparents for lunch here at this house just about every Sunday and every holiday.
What was it like back then?
Well, of course, as a child, it was our grandparents' house, and we didn't really know or appreciate anything about its architectural value at that point.
Sure.
And I'm not certain that much of anybody else did either, actually. But I remember coming here and it being a pretty playful place. And we pretty much had free rein when we came here. So the typical scenario would be being greeted at the door by Cecil Gamble while he was alive, and that was only for the first 7 years of my life, and then later by my grandmother, and then we would retire to the living room for, you know, a half to three quarters of an hour before lunch, and it was always the same thing.
What'd you eat? What'd you eat?
We always eat either a roast chicken or a roast turkey. And we had a great chuckle when the Gamble House was putting out a cookbook honoring the house as a fundraiser. And I said, well, it's going to be a pretty small cookbook because there's only one entry in each food group.
Chicken.
But chicken, peas, and peppermint stick ice cream.
Ted, what did it mean for both this house and for the people of Southern California that 50 years ago it went from being a private residence to a public residence?
When the idea was put out there to make this a public landmark, the neighbors, they were upset because they saw the possibility of developing the entire block go away. And one of the things I think is so important about the gift that was made in 1966, was finalized in 1966, is that it was the same year that Congress passed the Federal Preservation Act. And so the Gamble House has really grown up with that preservation ethic in the United States. And it was after that that jurisdictions began to have some authority to protect their historic properties, like and organizations like the LA Conservancy, Pasadena Heritage, San Francisco Heritage, these kinds of organizations began to spring up to protect places like this.
Dyke Messler, I know I, for one, and I'm probably one of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people who are very grateful that this did, in fact, become a public residence that we could walk through and check out and explore and learn about. But I wonder what it's like for you to see. I mean, we're sitting here right now, there's tourists wandering about, there are people traipsing through this architectural Disneyland that had a personal place in your heart. Is that strange at all for you?
You know, it really isn't hard. I think it's really exciting. When my grandparents were in residence here, they had brought a lot of their furnishings, their private furnishings from Cincinnati. So the living room, for instance, looked very different than it does now, and a lot of that furniture I had never seen. So they'd made some changes, but the remarkable thing about it was that they had the foresight to save all that stuff. And so I think this house is such a treasure. And I think if it could not, be a residence, absolutely the next best thing that could happen is it to showcase the work of these brilliant, brilliant architects. And as someone who, as I said, has spent, 66 years, coming back and forth here, it never fails that I find some new detail to fixate on.
Ted, can we talk a little bit about what it takes to keep this house up? Before we started recording, I had asked if we could sit down someplace warm, and you referenced a furnace called the Octopus that currently, what does it take to keep this place up and running? It's an old, big house.
Yes, it's a big, old house, and it it demands a lot of respect. Every day brings a new challenge. This is what's part of what I love about my job so much, is that I never know what's going to happen next. So yesterday we got the good news that the wonderful gravity flow heater that has serviced this house for over 100 years had finally given up the ghost. It's dead. The heater is dead. Long live the heater.
Sorry for your loss.
We're managing. There are actually four heating units in the house, and the main one, which we call the Octopus.
Why do you call it the Octopus?
Let me take you down to the basement and show you. It's got these big arms that are the ducts that go to the various rooms in the house. And it's the biggest one of the four units that has died. And the good news is that we're able to keep the casing of the original furnace. Inside, there's a cavity large enough to accommodate a more efficient, modern heater. So it'll continue to look the same as it looks now, but the more efficient unit will be inside, and we're going to be installing that, I imagine, over the next couple of months.
Ted, I have to say, not a huge surprise that a century-old heater might go kaput. Why not replace it earlier? What's the commitment here to keeping things intact?
Yeah, that's a great question. The whole discipline of historic preservation, or as we call it now, heritage conservation, has really evolved dramatically over the last 20 years and continues to. And so the idea of first do no harm is really central to our thinking about making changes here. If we don't need to fix something, we don't. We wait until something is really calling to us in an urgent way to make changes, because we jealously guard the historic fabric of this place, including the systems, the heaters, the plumbing. We have original knob and tube wires behind the walls. Don't tell the fire department. But it's all good stuff, and the house speaks for itself. It's still here. It was built so robustly to begin with that workers, when they come here to work on the house, they marvel at the level of craftsmanship that was brought to bear on this place. So we just take it really slow when we decide to make changes.
Dykemaster, if you think back to everything that's happened in Southern California in terms of architecture and land and development, a lot has changed in the past half century, and who knows what the next 50 years have to come, but probably a lot more change. This landscape will probably be a completely different one 50 years from now. What are your hopes for the Gamble House when it comes to the next 50 years as this beloved public landmark?
Well, that's a really interesting question, and that's something that the advisory board is going to be looking at very seriously in the coming year. And obviously, times have changed. There is not perhaps the same sort of eagerness to visit these amazing places in person because you can see them on a screen. And I guess I would say that, from my experience, I think that you cannot do justice to many of these places in pictures. You really have to experience them.
You can't smell it.
No.
Smell alone of the history.
Exactly.
Here.
And this is one house that certainly is in that category. I mean, there's no way that pictures do justice to it. It only whets your appetite. Obviously, I'm hoping that it will continue to, be a draw. I think we may need to tweak the program a little bit to figure out how we're going to continue to, encourage visitors to the Gamble House. I'm hopeful. I'm excited to be, excited to be a part of it. And our charge as members of the advisory board is to keep the memory of the house as a family house alive for all of the visitors. And so it's with a great deal of joy that I can imagine when we are gone that the legacy will be carried on by the docents, who really love it, as much or more than the family.